Angela, thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. Beautiful time of worship this morning. I so appreciate all of the work and effort, but also the true worship of that. Our scripture this morning is going to be found in Exodus chapter 14. If you want to go ahead and be locating that in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 14, we'll get to it in just a moment. The first time I ever went to a movie, my parents took me, along with my siblings, fixing to tell on myself, like you needed to know this, to a drive-in theater in Albany, Georgia, to see Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. It was a new movie that was out, and we were going to see it. I was only 5 or 6 years old, but I remember that experience for a lot of things. Even as a young child, those images of that movie were memorable. They stuck in my mind in such a thing. The one scene that really struck me the most was the crossing of the Red Sea. Through all those years watching that scene of the crossing of the Red Sea. I have seen that movie several times since then, and that scene is still one of my very favorites. By the way, did you know that the Charlton Heston as Moses movie was made in 1956, was actually just a remake of an earlier Cecil B. DeMille movie? He made this movie in 1923 as a silent movie. And I watched it on the internet again this week just as preparation for today, and the Red Sea scene is almost identical. The Israelites crossing the Red Sea is a familiar story for us, a familiar Bible story. Maybe it's too familiar. We've heard it often said that, we've heard it so often that it seems to have lost some of its fear and wonder and amazement. I cannot begin to imagine what they were experiencing. But let's review a little of the background to get us to the Red Sea, to help us get an understanding of where we're going for that. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. God sent Moses to free them from slavery, to lead them out of Egypt. He went to Pharaoh and told him, in Exodus chapter 7, it's recorded, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to say, 'Let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness.'" But instead of letting them go, Pharaoh made it worse. And then he increased their work and making them more difficult work. So God sent plagues to Egypt to show Pharaoh that God was God and to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. The Israelites and the Egyptians saw the power of God in the plagues. When the Nile River was turned to blood, when the frogs swarmed the rivers and into the towns and homes, even getting into their beds and into their cooking utensils, when the land was covered by gnats and overcome, when swarms of flies overwhelmed all of Egypt, everywhere except the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. When disease struck the livestock and they got sick and they started dying, except the livestock of the Israelites, not one of them died. And the Egyptians developed boils all over their bodies and the bodies of their animals. Then there was thunder and hail, and people, any person or animal that was out in the field was struck by the hail and killed. And the crops were destroyed. All but the land of Goshen, which again was spared. When the locust came into Egypt and ate up all the crops that the hail had not destroyed, leaving no plant life of any kind. When darkness covered the land for 3 days, a darkness so black it seemed you could feel it. At this point, Pharaoh said, I'll let you go into the wilderness for 3 days to worship. But they'd have to leave their flocks and their herds behind. Moses refused, saying, "No, every animal's got to go because we're going to need the animals for sacrifice. You've got to take them. He kept on with it, and then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron, and he told them after the death struck the livestock and the homes with the firstborn of every family and every animal dying, he sent for Moses and Aaron and told them, rise up, go away. Go away from my people. Both you and the Israelites, go worship the Lord as you said. And immediately the Israelites took off. They fled. They left the land of Egypt, taking their families and their livestock and many valuable treasures from the people of Egypt. After 430 years in Egypt, the Israelites were on their way to freedom. I can only imagine the ecstasy and the joy they were experiencing as they were going out, new life, everything's going to be better. The scripture tells us that there were 600,000 men among the Israelites, not counting the women and children. The total number of Israelites might have been as much as 2 million, some scholars say. God led them by a cloud in the day and by a pillar of fire by night. And they followed him straight through the wilderness to the edge of the Red Sea. About the time they got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh started thinking about what he had done and said, I shouldn't have done that. Who's going to do the work? So he sends his army with chariots to force them to return to Egypt. The people see them coming and hear them coming and they panic. Panic sets in. They can see them at the far distance across the wilderness. They say, Moses, why have you done this to us? And Moses responds, do not be afraid. This in chapter 14 of Exodus. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. See the deliverance of the Lord. The deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. Look with me now at Exodus chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in chapter 14, verse 19. Hear the word of the Lord. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Israelites had experienced the power of God. They had seen the plagues. The Israelites had expressed their faith in God when they hurriedly left Egypt and headed into the wilderness. They had followed the cloud and the column of fire to the edge of the sea, but what now? How were they to get across the sea? If that wasn't bad enough, here came the Egyptians coming to take them back or to kill them. Can you imagine that fear? The life you had known your whole life, you were experiencing the hope of freedom, and then all of a sudden, it was going. As tough as their life was, as tough as all of that was, at least you had your family. This is what they're thinking. At least we had our family, we had our food, and we had the essentials of existence. Now, after trekking for miles through this desert, we're trapped between an impassable sea and an attacking army of chariots. All they could fear is paralyzing fear. All they could feel was depression, desperation. They thought, what can I do? Is there any way to rescue my family? Is there any way to survive? They prepare themselves for a massacre. But instead of a Red Sea massacre, God provided a Red Sea rescue. The most unimaginable method of salvation possible. By splitting the sea wide open and drying the ground. You see, they weren't just walking across. They had their carts and their livestock and the things with all their possessions. God dried the ground for them. And they were able, all of those people, to cross in safety. And then God stopped the Egyptians. Disabled their chariots, bogging them down in the mud. And when they tried to drive out, the wheels broke. God caused the sea to come back together and drown them. Even going through the sea must have been scary for the Israelites. Imagine the fiery cloud behind you may have been providing some form of safety, but you had to walk between towering walls of water and what was probably the darkness of light lit only by the full Passover moon. Yet you walked forward into the unknown, hoping and trusting for God's deliverance. Cecil B. DeMille's special effects might show the grandeur of the parting sea, but not the awe and the fear of the people going through on dry ground. We may never have been trapped against an impassable sea. We may not have even been pursued by an army trying to kill us. But we have been in places of desperation. We've had times of desperation, places and times of hopelessness. We've been in places and times when there seemed like no way forward and no good way back. God led the Israelites into the wilderness. God became a wall of protection from the harm that headed their way. God opened a path of deliverance through the obstacle of the sea. Notice that God didn't just pick them all up and sit them safely on the other side of the sea. Notice that. Yet, how often that's the kind of miracle we're looking for in our lives. We pray for the Lord to take away our problems and deliver us. We complain when we have to walk through the sea. There will be times when our life is going pretty smoothly. There will be times, though, when we feel trapped like the Israelites at the Red Sea. In those times, we need God. We need God to step in and perform a Red Sea rescue. In those times, we need a Savior. Moses said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today." In those times, we need to trust in Jesus. Early in our worship, we sang Edgar Page Stite's poem, Trusting Jesus, the one that's printed in the order of service. Look at those lyrics, some of those lyrics again. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. I love that second verse. Singing if the way is clear, praying if my path be drear. If in danger, for him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And from that, my mind this morning as I was driving over from Gray, as I was driving, I was thinking through that song, and also in the back of my mind came Isaac Watts' hymn, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." Trusting Jesus, whatever we're facing, whatever we're experiencing, knowing that God will be with us, that God will guide us, God will strengthen us, God will be right there through other people, through experiences, through circumstances, God will be there. Trusting Jesus, that is all. May we pray. God of guidance, God of deliverance, come to us in our need. Come to us in our need and show us your salvation. Come to us in our distress and grant us your freedom. God of guidance, God of deliverance, we offer you our thanks. We offer you our lives. We offer you our love. In the saving name of Jesus, we pray.